Blog Talk Radio.
For the mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to the Crossroad Broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, And we want you to know today that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We're going to be talking about today in our discussion anxiety. Our topic is anxiety for the day. And we want you to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air, because we're going to talk about the causes of anxiety, the effects of anxiety, and we just want to pull you in to just let you know some things that you or others may be going through. And at this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and we're going to come back, and we're going to just go into what God has given us today. Yes, we are professional Christian counselors. We specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect. So all the counselors that's on the broadcast today are all licensed and certified, and we are here that you can hear from God, that you may be more enlightened to as what you may be going through. So get ready, get that pen, get that paper, and get ready to jot some things down, and most of all, get ready to listen. But why don't you come and go with us as we get ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for the great, for the mighty things, God, that you have done. Great and mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word shall we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against you. We thank you, God, for being the King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you, God, for being the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Today, God, we pray, God, for those that are in our audience. We pray, God, that they will receive healing on today, God, physically, spiritually, and financially, Lord God. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will touch their lives, God, that they won't ever be the same. And for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. At this time, we want to let you know that, yes, I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, a Christian counselor, licensed Christian counselor. We also have on our broadcast today as part of Crossroad Broadcast. We have Dr. James Williams and Dr. June Normill. Later in our broadcast, we'll have Dr. James Williams. He's going to be talking about the causes of anxiety. And Dr. June Normill, she's going to talk about the effects of anxiety. And today, we just want for you to know what sometimes people are going through. There may be a friend, a relative, somebody on your job, somebody that you're concerned about. And sometimes you don't know what's happening, what's going on, what they are experiencing. Even the person within themselves don't know what they're experiencing in life. But sometimes it is because of anxiety. And we just want to share with you about this young man. His name was Ron. And Ron was 20 years old. Ron was handsome, and he was liked by many of his friends. Until recently, he was enrolled as a business major in a Midwest town Christian college. And so here we find him in his sophomore year. He began just before his final. He decided that he was going to drop out. He's going to drop out of this Midwestern Christian college. The reason why he dropped out is because he couldn't handle the anxiety. He told someone that, and as he began to, when he seeked help, as he began to talk to his physician, he decided that he would let them know that he could not handle it. That's why he dropped out. He was filled with anxiety. He let them know that even during the test, he would break out in cold sweat. He said his mind would even go blank, and he would forget everything that he had studied. I don't know whether or not you are that individual, you are that person that have gone through things that Ron had gone through. You know, things seem to be prosperous. Things seem like it was going very well in your life. Yes, you was able to get into college, and yet, and although you got in college, you were doing very well. But then, too, it wasn't because that you were not getting along with your friends. He had friends that liked him. But something began to happen in Ron's life. He said again that he began to break out in these cold sweats. His mind went like blank, and it seems like he forgets everything that he may have studied. And after being at school for a while, he decided that he would even stop going to the lectures. He began, because of the fact that it began to get a little bit too scary for him. He was afraid that he was going to forget something that would be on the test. And by the end of the quarter, he felt uncomfortable even going to the academic building. So here we see that this young man was going through some trials. He was going through some challenges. He was going through some things that was uncommon to him. And you may be that college student. You may be that person that's in school. You may be that person that's on a job that is experiencing some of the things that Ron experienced. By the end of his time at school, he was so anxious he began to be very, very anxious. He was afraid that he would meet even one of his teachers. He would go to the coffee shop, and then he stopped going there because of the fact that he thought he may meet one of them. Ron, he is a Christian. He has a marker that was he had put in his Bible, and the marker was it had the scripture Philippians 4 on it, which it was underlined. When we read that, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. But we find out that this young man, that he was anxious about everything. It let us know that we're not to be anxious, but we should make our petition before God with thanksgiving and making our request known before him, that the peace of God would transcend our understanding and guide our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we can read things but yet we don't do things that we read. The Bible says, study to ourselves, approval to God, a word of God need not be ashamed to write it by the word of truth. I believe that when we read the word of God, it's like medication that would medicate our spirit, our mind, and our soul. It will help us to endure. You know, it will help us to know that we can't do anything without God, but with God, we can do all things. This young man, in spite of some things that he was doing, he did not have peace. And that's one of the things that we all need. We need peace. But God is able to give us that peace that surpasses our understanding. Not just peace that I have today, but he's able to give us that everlasting peace. I don't know what was going on, particularly with this young man, but he came to this point in his life that he needs some help. And I can really tell you today that all our help coming from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. Sometimes you may have been right, this young man, but when the word of God tells us, when David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill, will come with my help. My help coming from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. If you need peace, we need to know that God can give us that peace that surpasses our understanding. So he began to not have peace. And he knew, you know, a lot of times you don't have peace, you begin to think of all of these strange things, all the things that, happened. Because he began to even panic, and he began to anticipate some things that might happen to him, that he may not get a job when he got out of school, that no one is going to hire him, and all of these different things. And even if he got a job and couldn't do it, what was going to happen to him if he did get the job and could not do this job? The doctor had even prescribed some type of anxiety medication for Ron and for him in order to soothe him, in order to calm him, and for it to have some tranquility upon him, to enable him so that he would be even able to keep his counseling appointment. You know, sometimes we try to do things by ourselves, but we have to remember that we need God in order to order our footsteps. We need God in order to show us what we need to do. And as licensed Christian counselors, as Dr. William, Dr. Norma, and myself, we want to be able in order to help you. And I just believe that we're on this broadcast, on Crossroad Broadcast, because sometimes people, you know, they don't go to a counselor because of it. They think it's a stigma. They think that if they go to a counselor, they don't think somebody gonna think something wrong with them. But you know what? God is our greatest counselor, and God has given people such as we are in order to help you to go through situations in your life. And you can hear some of the topics that we're talking about, such as today we're talking about anxiety, and these things will help you to go through some things in your life as well. So when we look at this young man, he needed something apparently in order to relax him. Also, Ron's parents have suffered the idea of counseling, but they were in a sense was kind of impatient with him. They wanted, you know, sometimes you want these things for your children, but yet you're not patient enough in order to wait for whatever is happening in their lives for it to be dissolved. Sometimes we have to wait, and like the word that says, wait on the Lord, and to be a good parent. We have to wait, and in our waiting and our patience, we can be able to encourage somebody else. We can be able to go through situations ourselves. And when we look at his background, he had a father that was highly successful. And sometimes when I begin to think about this young man, sometimes when you have parents that's very, very highly successful, then they may be a lawyer, they may be a doctor, or whatever they may be, and then they it's a burden upon that woman, a young woman, or that young man, because they want to be able to be as good as their parents were. They were they was a lawyer, surgeon, or whatever they were. They wanted not to disappoint their parents. And we see that even as this young man, his father didn't have much patience with the idea of him going to counseling. You know, sometimes we just have to put our hands around children, whether they're elementary school or preschool or junior high school, sophomore, whether they be in college, whether they be, because, you know, we send them there in order to get the education and learning that they need, but yet they haven't matured in the areas, and there are things that we need to show them and that we can help them, but they need for our understanding, they need for us to be there for them. And if they don't have a parent, they need somebody in order to let them know it's going to be all right. And even as we speak about anxiety today, if you may not have a person in your life that may understand you, that'll be patient with you, or that you can go to, but I want you to know today that you can always go before the Most High God, because he will be there for you. Ron's actually believes that he is the cause of much of his anxiety, that his father was the cause of many things that he was going through. He knows that as an anxiety could have been a physical basis as well, but he also wondered if a lot of a problem come from the pressure. And see, that's what it is sometimes. Sometimes you're getting the pressure on the right and on the left because you're trying to succeed. You don't want to fail. You want to get that A. You want to be on the dean's list. You want to just to be able to be a good student. So therefore, there is the pressure. So sometimes you find people going through anxiety. They go through stress. They go through fear. They go through these phobias, and they go through tension. And all of this, it doesn't make things easier in their life. What they need to do is to be able to know how to be able to confront, to be able to get through these times of tension, the times of when they're very fearful. They need to know that they have someone and that they can have help in order to go through the things that they are encountering at that time. So what we want you to know today, that you saying to you today that if you are experiencing any of these things, you can get some help. You can. You don't have to go through these things by yourself. You know, anxiety is a feeling, inner feeling of being of uneasiness. It's overall concern of. You know, all of us are concerned about things, but you're overly concerned about certain things. You're concerned about, you know, you worry excessively. You look at apprehension going on in your life, and you're feeling that feel of being dread. So, therefore, and you all, you know, people have gone through all of this in their lives sometimes, but yet, you know, you can move beyond the things that you're going through. You just need to take one day at a time, and most of all, you need to take our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with you, that you can be able to maintain. And as I said before, God has put people, you know, like the counselors that we have on Crossroads Broadcast in order to be able to help you. Now, we have a call-in number, which is 805-243-1363. And if you have any questions at any time, you can call that number, and we'll be more than happy in order to reach out to you in order to help you through some things that you may be going through on today. Now, we're going to put a pin in some of the things that we are talking about, because we want to bring you briefly into some things that you may be going through, you know, somebody may be encountering, but we want to know how anxiety affects a person. And at this time, we're going to go in to our next portion. We're going to take the next 15 minutes, and we're going to talk about the causes of anxiety. And we're going to go to Dr. James Williams as he comes. And as I said before, get your paper, get your pencil, get ready, have an ear to hear, and be and accept the things that God has for you on today. Let's welcome Dr. James Williams to the Crossroads Broadcast. Dr. Williams.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. How are you doing today? Today we want to highlight a couple of things. Many of you may think that Christian counseling is just church-type stuff, but in essence, it's really not. We're going to talk about a gentleman that many of you probably already know about, a gentleman by the name of Freud. He kind of had some ideas about how anxiety came about. And in that, he talks about three entities, which is your id, your ego, and your superego. Your id really is just that part of you that has instincts. Some call it, say, flight of to run or to stick around. But really what it does is it consists of instincts that demand immediate gratification. And that guy's pretty prominent sometimes because he will have you to be in places or do things that are not completely what is best for you. The second part of that is your ego. And this is the part of you that is aware of the external world. And it keeps the personality intact with reality. And sometimes we look at our friends and wonder if they're really in touch with reality. Then the final component of it is what's called our superego. And that's the gentleman that tells us what's morally right and wrong. Mr. Freud talked about three other components, one called reality anxiety. And that's basically when our ego, that part of us that's aware of the external world, sees that something is a threat to us. And then it perhaps gets us to act. We become anxious because there is a threat to our lives. And maybe not even our lives. It may be something that is actual, or it may be something that's not actual. Reality sometimes to us is different in many ways. Our next portion would be a neurotic anxiety, and that is where our begins to become so socially aggressive and sexually that our behavior becomes unaccepted. Then the last and not final, but the last one is our moral anxiety, and that's when our superego becomes so powerful that it just seems like everything makes us feel so guilty or ashamed that we can't go on any longer. But since that time of Mr. Freud, we've had variations of anxiety. And we want to look at a couple of things that will still bring on anxiety even today when we have differences of opinion. But there are about five things that we want to look at. One being threat. The second one being conflict. Fear. Unmet needs. Psychological. Or physiological, excuse me. And individual differences. Now, when we look at threat, that is something either perceived or actual. And remember, we talked about reality. Some persons in their own minds, they perceive something to be a threat. And even if it's not a real threat, the anxiety will appear. And they have a real thought of threat. When we look at that, within that confound of threat, there are seven things that come up. Is there a danger? When we look at our news, crime. We don't even feel safe in our homes anymore. War. When we see the news alert that comes on that there's a tornado in our area. Even to the point of an unexpected illness, we have never experienced that before, so we become anxious with that. And again, this might be something that could be harmful to us, or if we imagine it, it's just as real to the individual as not. With that type of anxiety, we go into the next step, which is our self-esteem. This will go into our self-esteem by our image of ourself, again, whether it is implied or not. Self-esteem was an issue with Ron when, again, he had what appeared to have all of the natural attributes, as was explained. He was handsome. He came from a good family. But the self-esteem issue of failing when mother or father has been so successful in their lives will hamper you oftentimes. And sometimes we say, well, just snap out of it. But when you have real anxiety, that is not a real solution to the problem. And for example, when one has self-esteem issues, they will oftentimes resist taking exams. Someone could be perfect for a job or a promotion, but they are fearful of a failure, and so they won't take that. And then our next step, we want to talk about separation. Wow, that's a biggie. And most Americans, we know about that. We know about being separated. Think about the little kid that has been home with mother growing up and has been homeschooled, and now all of a sudden he or she is being placed in a school. Wow, that's a big anxiety, because I've never been there before. I've never done that before. Think about the spouse that has lost a loved one to death or cancer, even to the point of when we move to a new house or a new town, divorce, the breakup of an engagement. All of these things lead us to think, what do I do next? I was comfortable where I was. These bring about anxiety. And then we want to look at our values. What were the standards? Did our mom and dad, or those that were in charge of us, our grandparents, what values did they place in us? Even from a standpoint of our church going, what is the expectation of us through sin, or maybe not sin? How do I get married? What standards do I take when all of the people around me are doing things that are untoward? They're misbehaving, and now anxiety sets in when my parents won't allow me to act like the other children. Those type of values come. Just before the final one, we have unconscious influences. And these can be good or bad. And the reason why we say they can be good or bad is because they lie dormant. And anything that lies dormant has a propensity to come in sometimes unexpectedly. And it comes in at the most inopportune time. And we can't really control it. We look at some persons, and this is totally different, but we look at it from the perspective of sometimes when persons have what's called post-traumatic stress. And this is where something has been filed away, but we really don't know where it is, and it just kind of shows up when we are agitated or when we are uncertain of some things that we need to do. Now we want to move on to another area, which is called conflict. And when we look at conflict, there are three areas in conflict that we normally default to. The first one being approach conflict. And that is where we kind of take it head on. We approach it head on, and we come up with a good way of handling it. For example, if you had an occasion to go to a good dinner, and then you say, well, I could either go to Dr. Normill's dinner, or I can go to Dr. McCoy's dinner. Both of them are going to have excellent dinners, so it's almost like a win-win situation. So we don't lose, and we don't stress as much or have as much anxiety, because we are able, or we believe, that they're going to be, both facilities are going to be very good. Now, the next one would be approach and avoidance conflict. For example, the best way to explain that would be, I've been offered a new job, and it's going to increase my finances, but my anxiety is I may have to leave my friends. Another component of that would be I don't want to relearn or to have to develop new friendships. It may require us to work some overtime, which we have not desired to do. And a third and final one would be the avoidance. And that's where we don't really have a whole lot of pleasure in it. For example, I may have broken my leg several years ago, and now the pain is so bad that the doctor told me from the beginning to have surgery, and I decided that I didn't want to have the surgery, and now I have no choice because the pain is unbearable. Those three things occur when we are looking in the area. Now, we want to look at fear, and we're going to hasten because this could I don't want to go over my time so that the other Dr. Normiel can come in. When we look at fear, some have suggested that fear is not a part of anxiety, and it carries on its own demeanor. But one of the things we want you to know that fear can take us into the future. A couple of things that would cause fear is failure, the future being unclear, rejection. It even goes into an area of intimacy, success, taking responsibility, meaninglessness in life. All of these things are part of fear, the unknown, one might say. And then we want to look at unmet needs. And, wow, we have six things here that are really outstanding. The first and foremost one is survival. Every person desires or has the need to know that they will continue in existence. One thing that we used to teach in critical stress management that will help this is security. Every person normally wants to know that they live in a safe and a free world. And again, that term sex, and it is not necessarily the act, but it's just the need for intimacy, the need for touch along those lines. And then we have the significance, the need for an amount to be that I'm worth something. There's nothing worse than for a child or for an adolescent or an adult to feel like they have no worth, they have no need of being around. Our own self-fulfillment, doesn't it just feel good sometimes to just say, well, you know, I did that report all myself. We have a little anxiety when we first begin, but the mere fact that we can say I did it and the thought of others giving us their applause to say we did it. And then last but not least, our own selfhood. I don't have to be like my dad. I don't have to be like someone else, especially when you're talking about siblings. I don't have to be like my big brother. I don't have to be like my little sister. I am my own individual. We want to talk about physiological need parts of our lives because sometimes anxiety comes as a result of an illness. For example, we may have a mitral valve prolapse, which will mimic a number of other illnesses, and the individuals cannot separate themselves from this event occurring. Sometimes they don't know that it's going to occur, and other times they will know, but they begin to anticipate it, which throws their ability to be around others. So they refrain from being around others, and anxiety is built because I know that I may have to be in an elevator. Some people have anxiety just going in high places or if they have an anxiety from water, where their parents may have told them, don't ever get close to water because you may fall in and you may drown. One of my trepidations was the fact that I was always afraid of reptiles or snakes. And that goes back to my mother was very afraid of snakes. And that's something she taught us from a very young age. She was petrified of snakes. So therefore, it trickled down to me. What I mimicked from her was a society teaching me that snakes were very harmful to me. And so we have to know that these things can be controlled, but we have to face those realities. And then the last thing that we want to talk about on this time is we want to talk about individual differences. And we have what is termed free-floating anxiety. And that is, there is really no real threat or no fear from it. It just shows up. And then from that, we panic or we go into a mode of not being able to deal with it appropriately. And again, part of that is there are five. We won't go into all five of them now, but we will just touch on them for just a moment. And remember, I just got through referring to learning. And that's something that we learn from our parents or from someone that we hold great esteem for, our personality, the social environment. Perhaps if we lived in a gated community, we would feel safer. We don't want to stereotype, but if we lived in a low-income area where there's lots of violence, we would be a lot less feeling safe and have a lot of anxiety. As I get ready to close, we want to talk about our theology. And theology plays a great role in how what we believe. And we have to remember that most of us have been given the thought that God is all-powerful. God is the one that is going to take care of us. And if we begin to rely on him, we're able to diminish some of our anxieties, but we have to remember that even though there are many persons that are in the church community, all of us are not on the same page as far as who and what God can do for us. So we have to be very patient with those persons who may appear to have anxiety, and we're prayerful and hopeful that we have explained to you some of the causes of anxiety and what brings it about. Dr. McCoy, we hope we didn't go over our time.
Thank you, Dr. Williams, what an awesome presentation and giving us the understanding of what anxiety, how it, what cause is anxiety. We do want to thank Dr. Williams for that, and we hope that you had your pencil and your paper available, and I pray God, and I just believe that you were focused and that you were listening, because all of this will help you and help somebody else that is going through anxiety. And we're going to move on, and we're going to go to Dr. June Normeal, and she is going to come, and she's going to talk about the effect of anxiety. Again, you see our time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Crossroads broadcast is on the air. Let's go to Dr. June Normeal.
Giving honor to God, and I give honor and thanksgiving and greetings to the radio panel and also to the radio audience. My topic today is the effects of anxiety. And the definition of anxiety is, it is a psychological and physiological state characterized by somatic, emotional, cognitive, behavioral components. In other words, an easier way of saying it and defining it is, It is the displeasing feeling of fear and concern. Anxiety affects emerging in so many different ways. In other words, anxiety is not always bad. Hard to believe, but it's true. With the right amount of anxiety, not having too much or not having too little, it motivates people to add zest and excitement to their life. For example, you know, when you see people standing in lines for hours, waiting to be scared to death of a horror movie, or when you see people in lines for hours to get on a ride that's about driving them crazy, something like the roller coaster, some ride that's just take them to, like, they feel like they're on another planet. That's caused to be anxiety. But when a person is able to control the situation, that creates anxiety and it welcomes the experience. That means they have control of it. They choose to be in that situation. But however, when anxiety is intense, prolonged, or uncontrollable, people begin to experience four types of reaction. The first one is physical. The second one, psychological. The third one, defensive. And the last one is spiritual. And some of the symptoms from the physical reaction are it could cause headaches, it causes ulcers, it causes skin rashes, backaches, and it's commonly known that anxiety also produces a lot of stomach discomfort, such as butterflies, and also it causes inability to sleep, increased fatigue, loss of appetite, and a frequent desire to urinate, you know, at times when you be experiencing anxiety. And less conscious things that take place are symptoms that it changes in the blood pressure and increased muscle tension, and it could cause slowing down in your digestive system, and it causes chemical changes in your bloodstream. If these are temporarily, they cause little, if any, harm at all. But when they persist for a long time, the body begins to break down under pressure, and that be the beginning, the start of psychological causes, or anxiety. And some of the symptoms that you will experience, or a person will experience a psychological reaction, would be that it hinders the person in relationships. It just causes you to have problems to get along with others when you normally used to be a real good people person. But due to anxiety, you don't get seem to get along with people, and it causes you to have memory loss. So have you ever been like you had to do a report or you had to do a presentation, and before, just when you get before everybody, you get up there and you already know what you're going to say. You don't practice, you don't rehearse it, but just in the midst of performing, your mind just go blank. That could be another form, another symptom of you being experienced psychological anxiety. In extreme case, anxiety, it also immobilizes the individual that a person can even function independently like they should. And another reaction is a defensive reaction. That is when anxiety builds. And most people are conscious, they rely on behavior and thinking that dulls the pain of anxiety and it makes coping easier. In other words, they include ignoring the feelings of anxiety. They pretend that the anxiety producing situation does not exist. They just be like in a sense of being denial, just being a sense of denial that things not happening. And if they are convinced that it's happening, they usually put the blame on someone else, or they'll just psych themselves out and say, oh, it's nothing to worry about. It's not even nothing to worry about. So just different signs and symptoms that you'll do in defensive reaction when you experience anxiety. And it also causes people to escape with anxiety through alcohol or using drugs or withdrawal to various kinds of mental illness. And a lot of times people, when they experience that, they be on defense of things such as not producing like they should produce. And the most common thing that causes people to do when they get the spirit of anxiety, it causes spiritual reaction. And the most common thing that happens is when people, they seek help. They seem to turn to God when they normally wouldn't turn to God. And you get yourself in a situation, a lot of times people will not turn to God when they're having bad times, when things are going good for them. But a lot of times when you have an anxiety, it's been noted and it's been stated that most people turn to God in times of stress. But like I said, it also could drive people away from God because they don't understand. And they wonder why them being a child of God, being a Christian, why they go through so much anxiety, why are they going through so much stress. And they seem to blame God for the situation. They seem to blame people of God for the situation. They think that God doesn't care. They just be so upset with God, saying, I'm a church person. I'm a church person. I'm a Christian. I pay my tithes. I offer. I love everybody. Why can't I stop worrying? Why can't I stop being sick? Why can't I stop being in denial? Why I have to experience physical problems? God doesn't love me. And they think God, to them it seems that God allows bad things to happen to them, and they feel like they're good people. But that's not the truth. That's not the truth at all. God loves all his children. God loves everybody. But even in sinners, God just don't love the sin. Even when Christians, sometimes we sin, but God just don't like sin. He loves the individual. And a lot of times we bring things on ourselves by over-worrying about things and by not casting our cares upon God, because he cares for us. And when you be in a situation in the spiritual reaction of anxiety, you may have experienced some of these things. You may normally have your private time and just love just meeting with God a certain time of the morning or the day and just reading your Bible. But because of a certain situation or certain thing has happened in your life, you find it hard to even read your Bible. And also, you might also have a good appetite. You have a good appetite in eating and breaking bread with friends. But when things, the situation happens, it causes you not to even want to eat no more. That's a sign of anxiety. And also, don't find time for prayer. It seems though when we go through things, we should be able to run to God for prayer. But a lot of times it turns people bite. It depends on their situation, turn them from God, from prayer. So the only thing I can say positive about anxiety, if you wasn't regularly seeking God or want to be in the presence of God, but a situation has caused you to turn to God, I get that a plus. I get that a good way of giving you to turn to God. But also, on the flip side of that, if you've always been with God, but when things have come in our life, we experience certain things, it turns us away from God. We can't allow things and situations to turn us away from God because of anxiety. Another form of anxiety, is another term of it, is anxiety is known by, it's a generalized anxiety disorder. It's called GAD, by the name of GAD, G-A-D. But it's when it's more serious, chronic condition that requires treatment by experienced psychiatrists. But just having mild and just calm anxiety, there's nothing wrong with that. That's normal. That's just experience, all of us experience sometimes. Like I say, you might be finna take a test or you might be finna having a speaking engagement and you just get butterflies in your stomach. But when it gets to the point that it's so severe that it caused you to have, like we said before, physical reaction, psychological reaction, and defensive reaction, that's when it's really out of your hand. You don't have control of it. You don't have that weaponry. Like I said, that good part, when it's asked to be a good thing, that's when you choose to be in that situation. When you choose to go, I know I'm going to be afraid if I look at this movie, but I love scary movies, and I know I'm just getting all worked up, but I'm nervous about talking about it right now. I'm just paraphrasing, just saying it, putting myself in that situation. And I'm nervous about it right now, but I love horror movies, and I can't wait. Same thing. Oh, I know this ride is going to make me so afraid. You're going to take me so high, I'll be so afraid, but I just love feeling that thrill, just going around and around and up and down. That's when we have control of it. But then again, when things get to the point where you don't have control of it, that's the bad part of anxiety. And it causes all kind of physical reactions I already talked about, psychological reactions. And also, it has a negative effect on our brain. On your brain, anxiety also causes problems with your brain. It causes even to lead to strokes. When you get in that position of flight or fight, in that situation, hormones are constantly on the attack. They're constantly on the attack. These are the hormones in your body. And your heart risk and subsequent stroke risk, it goes up. It goes up. That's any time when you get in a situation like you bite in the corner, you panic. Your risk goes up for that. In the Journal of American Heart Association, it indicates that middle-aged men with symptoms of psychological distress, including anxiety, are more than three times as likely to have a fatal stroke than those who do not have problems with anxiety. So anxiety, we see how it affects the body in negative ways when it comes to affecting our physical health and causes not to function the way that it's supposed to function. And to get to the point where we start to take things upon ourselves and we get the part of blaming God or not loving God or not trusting God or not believing God because of a situation has occurred in our life. And even when people had, such as myself and Dr. Williams, Dr. McCoy, and other Christian counselors may be welcome as spiritual ministers, or we also could be rejected because we are representatives of God who has permitted the stress and left impression that God doesn't care. We are ambassadors of Christ. We're here anointed and called by God to bring healing and help in every area that God directs us to bring every week. And it's not that we don't care, and it's not that God don't care. It's just that we have to be in a place and know that God is still God, and we got to know how to handle things that come in our life when it's in our hand that we can do. And when it's not, we got to know how to leave it into God's hand. And I leave with you this scripture, Philippians 4, 8 through 9. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." He say, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen him do. That same situation that might cause you to be in anxiety form or state right now, and maybe you might experience that before. If God brought you out of before, he'll bring you out of again. Just trust God. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Norman. We thank God for awesome discussion from Dr. Norville, as she clearly explained to us the effects of anxiety. And I hope that you truly have been blessed from Dr. Norville coming and talking to you today about the effects of anxiety. Also, Dr. James Williams, as he talked about the causes of anxiety. And we hope that everything that we have said to you today has been a blessing. And we want you to join us on next Monday at the same time on the Crossroad broadcast. We're going to ask Dr. James Williams, will he close us out in prayer on today? And if there's anybody that has a infirmity, a sickness, or illness, or going through anxiety, we want him to pray for you, Dr. James Williams.
Eternal God, our Father, here we are before your throne of mercy and grace. Our Father, who has, in like fashion, through his Son, given all preparation for us, we come now to acknowledge you as being able to defeat even our own fears and anxieties. We come now, Lord, to ask of you for those that may be going through difficult times and those who may be needing to make decisions and have put them off because of anxiety. Father, you already know every individual that needed to hear this broadcast. Speak now, Father, from heaven, and it shall be done. We believe that you are the God of this universe, and we're trusting in you with all that we have. We're going to give you our anxieties, our trepidations, our fears, the threats that we perceive, knowing in our hearts and in our minds that you are able, because your word declared that you're able and that you're more able than we could even think of. bless Dr. McCoy and Dr. Nomiel as they perform your words in actions and as they perform those things that you have called them to do. And then, Father, most of all, we just pray for your presence, because according to your word, where your presence, there is peace, there is love, and there is harmony. Speak now, Lord, to our hearts, and we shall hear. Be our God, and we shall be delivered. This is your humble servant's prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Let every heart say amen, amen, and amen.